You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio. Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions, where you can get your step-by-step, easy-to-follow, simple plug-and-play plan to take you from where you are to where you want to be in 90 days. Welcome to 90 Days Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about X. Not X, your X. Well, actually, it's my X. Chapter X meaning 10. Chapter 10 in the book, While Victoria Dreams, a really cool book on the whole
Amazon.
But it's on the process of, not on the process, on the results of 90 Day Soulmate. It's actually our story with fictitious characters by the name of
Vincent
and Victoria. Well, obviously, Victoria. The reason it says Victoria Dreams is there's a lot of dreams in the book because Lisette...
I sleep a lot.
She has dreams, she writes them down, and then voila, the dream comes true at some point. And it's sometimes
if
just...
If it's not coming, we create it.
But seriously, it's interesting because there'll be a dream, and then later there'll be a scene which, this is what the dream meant. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we do have dreams of the future, we just don't know exactly how it applies until, boom, it hits you and go, that's what it was.
That's it. I mean, if you have this kind of dream and sometimes you feel it's good, they read the book and find some clue about how to handle this.
So I'm assuming that many of you, have dreams that periodically you go, this is what that dream was about. And it mm-hmm. is something in your life. And this book helps us recognize, it actually helped us recognize that a lot of those dreams became reality. And the more times we talk about dreams, we can kind of relate the stories of what's going on in our life or a friend's lives to the dreams. And sometimes it's exactly the dream and it's kind of
scare.
But these dreams are typically Lisette's dreams. I have some dreams, but they're not as...
I hope that the last dream that you told me not coming true. Okay.
X. Good. X means chapter 10. Chapter 10 in While Victoria Dreams is a chapter called Kamikaze. Sorry, Kamikaze Practice. I can't even
kamikaze.
Say... Kamikaze Practice. And Kamikaze is where somebody... takes down their plane. They actually sacrifice themselves and their plane, their vehicle, to just take out like a warship or something, you know, a building. And it is a military practice where it is self-sacrifice, sacrificing everything just to end something. And in this case, it's sacrificing.
It's relationship. Yeah, so ending sometimes you see people doing that. Unconscious.
But hold on, it's a metaphor. I didn't actually take a plane and...
No, I say doing by relationship.
Okay, so...
Because if it's not, you're not here.
I'm the worst kamikaze pilot ever.
Yeah, because
ever.
You survived.
I survived. My God. Terrible. Thank you for tuning in to 90 Day Soulmate. Okay, so... What's interesting as we reread the chapter and the story, and this chapter's about Vincent and how he meets a woman by the name of Erin. She is, I don't want to use the word immaculate. She was very astute, very good at writing things in communication, and they first meet online. And communicate back and forth in email and text messages. The creativity in the writing and the communication style in writing really attracted Vincent, that it was playful, it was smart, with puns and associations that were, you know, tertiary to the conversation, that they weren't directly in line, but it was like, you know, kind of like how Vincent's mind worked. It was like over here and over there and over there. And it's like, wow, this is great. Mm-hmm. You know? And so that was the start of the relationship, was a lot of written communication. The second piece that happened in this relationship was competition.
Mm-hmm. That's a challenge.
It's a challenge. So the competition was that Vincent, early on in his communication with Aaron, finds out that Aaron also has an interest in a, I believe, college professor that she kind of is slightly communicating with, meeting once in a while, having coffee. And so now Vincent is in competition, you know, emotionally driven, in a chemical state of, oh, I'm attracted and now I'm in competition. Everything that the evolutionary part of the human body would trigger a response that would be like, you got to go after this.
So Erin did a good job.
It's amazing. Manipulation.
We have to interview Erin.
Yeah. Man, manipulation. Manipulation.
Yes.
But what was learned by this, and we can talk about the story a little bit. The story goes is that the, and I'm going to say, let's put a comparison, is that if two people are really good at something, let's just say they're two doctors, men, women, man, women, what doesn't matter, but they start talking about their profession, they start talking about something they know.
To chef, for example.
To chefs, yeah, right?
And talking about food.
They're talking about the amazing recipes that they make. Mm-hmm. They have this communication on their, you know, and I say on their outer level. And what I mean by that is they're not born with knowing how to be a chef. They may be born with a personality that lends itself to eventually becoming a good chef. But the chef part of them, the how much is a pinch in this recipe.
The aroma, the taste, the how cooking or mixing some food. Mm. So both agree in so many areas. They feel, wow, that is a
amazing,
great conversation.
Right?
Yeah.
So just like different food groups mix for taste, these two people are having this conversation and they're like, wow, it's like ratatouille all over again.
Yeah,
right?
And then feel like, oh, I'm in love with this person.
Oh, I'm in love with the person. I don't even know anything about them, but they're just genius.
Yeah.
Right? Chef Boy RD. Genius. So the idea is we meet people in our lives that we may have this thing in common with, and we have this communication, like Vincent and Aaron had this written verbal communication where they joke with each other.
Mm-hmm. And she understands the joke of him.
Right?
Wow.
So, but mm-hmm. When you're first meeting somebody, and we go back, our other book, 90 Day Soulmate, talks about this too. When we first meet somebody, we put on this suit. We want to be like them. We want to act like them. We want to attract them because it's all, you know, the chemistry's there. And
promotion time.
It is promotion time. Mm-hmm. So we're the most like what it needs. We try to be what is needed in the moment to be as attractive as possible to that other person, which is the most that fits with them, but potentially the least that's really like us. The communication of the chefs is what they know and what has been built on their inner core. And where we're going with this is as those two chefs communicate back and forth more and more, one day somebody slips and says something about politics or religion or football. My favorite team is Manchester United. Mine's the Jets. What? You're talking soccer. Oh, no, I'm talking football. No. The point is that as their conversation starts to get deeper into other areas, and well, maybe football's not that deep, but into other areas where more of their personality comes out, they may find that match they had in the language and the feeling and the emotions of the chef
mm-hmm.
are no longer there.
And the cooking start to burn in the stuff.
They burn each other.
Yeah.
So how do they get out of this relationship? Oh, I'm going to ruin the food that I cook so they don't like what I cook anymore. And then they don't want to
sit. That's kamikaze behavior. There See, you go.
Yeah. Come to my restaurant, kamikaze restaurant.
And you die.
But it's wonderful. You'll love the food.
The last meal, the best last, last meal ever.
Best last meal. What would you like for your last meal? This okay. is terrible. Awful. This is an awful show. Don't watch it. Oh, too late. So I wanted to get into some of these things. We were discussing this beforehand. Is what is innate to us? What are we at our core? Because what I found in analyzing the relationship of Vincent and Erin was that at their outermost self, the developed self, who they were at that moment in time, but what was learned, their outermost layer, you know, as your brain with neuroplasticity, all those things you learn, those subjects you learn, what you go to school for, you have this outer presentation. It's like the suit you wear. And that they fit on. But down below those other layers, you know, family values, beliefs, what their interests were.
The goal for the life, some kind of project plan.
That stuff, like when we were in third grade or first grade or kindergarten, the things that we wanted, our dreams, those mm-hmm. things may have been completely different. But we don't get to that because at first we're at this outer layer. And as we develop the relationship and we share more with the other person, we become more vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we're sharing more of ourselves. Now, Erin and Vincent are joking and doing puns with each other, but now there's a flavor of I know you, and it now is misinterpreted. It's now taken the wrong way. It's now you're attacking me. It's now how could you say something like that? And the strength that they had together becomes a weakness because now when their inner underlying personalities and beliefs and traits don't match what was such a playful bantering, mm-hmm. back and forth, like tennis back and forth, becomes swords. And they kind of start doing jabs at each
and
other.
And the ball rolling.
even if they don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, they may not think they're actually attacking the other person. In a relationship, you may not think you're doing something that hurts your partner. But as you share more with them, you may find what you do at a different point in your relationship, because now you're communicating more, you're communicating more deeply. You may find that at the core, your cores are much further apart. That your innate personalities, your learned personalities when you were little are actually further from each other. Or, what did we talk about? You might find out you're even closer to each other.
Yeah, the backwards. So you know more, you feel more close to the person.
So I'm going to get into the personality, but I also want to do something else. I want to talk about this book for a moment. In 90 Day Soulmate, do this here without trying to get light in the wrong position. Or right, light reflecting on you, that in this book we have sections which detail figuring out those things about yourself, your values, your beliefs, kind of get an idea of your own personality, what you like, what you dislike. The reason that's important is that if you can go into a relationship with that kind of base connection with the person, and it's the base that's connecting as well as maybe your outer personality. So now your beliefs, your values, your what you believe love is, how you want to communicate, where you want to go in life, your goals. If you can fit all these other things, these 40 items that you want in a relationship, if you can fit those early on in the relationship, you're moving towards something where you have similarities. You're moving in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than two ships passing in the night.
But you have to be aware about that.
You have to be aware. You have to do some work. And you know, it's we talked about this years ago when we were on the radio. We talked about you go to school for years for math and for English and for history. You go to school for all these years, you know, kindergarten through 12th grade, to get this understanding of knowledge, and yet you're not going to go into math for 40 years. But if you're going to go into a relationship, you may go into a relationship for 40 years or 30 years, or you may hope to have a lifelong relationship. How much education, how much work have you done in relationships? 90 Day Soulmate.
Zero. In the school, right? Zero, yeah.
It's zero in the school. I mean, you might relate to people in the school because you talk to them.
I guess that right now in the school start to push in a little topics, and this is good news.
But it is such a complex topic. Yeah. And a lot of it requires self-study and self-analysis. And when you are 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th, 10th, 11th, how much of that do you want to share with your classmates? You're just trying to figure out stuff yourself. This book now, where you have developed a little bit of that yourself, now allows you in your privacy of your own home or with your loved one to kind of analyze yourself, each other, and that relationship to try to bind it tighter together.
So we have to fit out again.
We have to do this again. Yeah. Who are these two people? Look at those people there.
It's a model that we hired. Photoshop.
In any case, when we come back on 90 Day Soulmate, we're going to talk more about personalities, innate, learned, nature versus nurture, all that.
And the kamikaze behavior.
Oh, and the kamikaze behavior. We'll be right back. "90 Day Soulmate" is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about kamikaze behavior. We're talking about personality. We're talking about how people, when they meet, they talk on a superficial level. They may have something in common with the other person. But as time goes on and they reveal more of themselves to the other person, they may find themselves growing closer together or further apart, depending on what's underneath. And part of what is underneath is personality. Is personality, you've heard this before, personality traits. Is that something that people are born with or people learn?
Both.
50-50?
Yeah, you have some DNA data and how you born, and the second, where you grew up. So all that you learn about your environment.
So
family.
So, environment, family. So I have a few notes here, a few little notes. So we want to talk about personality. So in personality traits, there's something called the Big Five, the Big Five personality traits. And an easy way to remember this is if you can remember ocean, like this, the sea, O-C-E-A-N. If you remember that, you can remember O as openness to new experience, C as conscientiousness. It's like 24 syllables, conscientiousness. I have to remember to say that correctly. That would be conscientiousness. Three is extroversion. Not olive oil, but extroversion.
That's the reason that you bought a bottle today.
That's why I bought olive oil. No. So sorry to go to a side here, but when you use Amazon, that you need to hit like $25 worth or $35 worth of product to get it for free. So I needed to order something that was $16 or something like that, and I wanted to get it delivered for free. I'm like, what do we need? What do we need?
Extroversion.
Mm-hmm. Extroversion. Because when you drink olive oil, it gives you that extra kick so you can be outgoing.
There you go.
Extroversion.
Little A.
Is outgoing. A is agreeableness,
okay.
Baby. It's agreeableness.
Okay. I got it.
Are you friendly and compassionate, or are you critical and rational? Like everything has to be correct and right, and you don't agree with people if it's not how you agree, if it's not rational. Your agreeableness is you can go along with somebody who might not agree with you. And you can say, you know what? We agree to disagree by agreeing to disagree.
No hablo inglés.
This is a tough one for me. Neuroticism. Not eroticism, but neuroticism.
Okay, what is that?
Neuroticism is when you're sensitive and nervous, like everything bothers you. Ah, don't do this. Like, you ever get around somebody who is really like irritated by anything you do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there someone around you who irritates you all the time?
Yeah.
They can make you laugh, but you're still annoyed at them?
Yeah.
So, so when you're too sensitive and too nervous, it's what's called being neurotic, versus when you are resilient and confident, like things don't bother you. And you're like, you know what, I'm just going to go on and keep going because I'm going to get through it. And if you take a look at those big five traits of personality, the how open you are to new experiences, if you're willing to be curious, if you're inventive, if you want to do new things, or you're like, no, I just want to stay inside. I want the same thing every day, and I'm going to be cautious about it. And all of these things, and let's just talk about all these five are huge, that if we don't talk about them that much, we should talk about them more. Because these are the things that are those personality traits. They kind of guide all of what we do. So if you're in a relationship and you're with somebody who is open to new experiences and you're not, what does that lead to?
It's my friend, Carmen. Oh. She liked to go for different experience.
Okay. Yeah. So so we're just talking about an individual now, that there's one person who likes to go and they try things new. They go travel, they practice
any dance and maybe
sports,
maybe hiking, bicycle, and
just
cooking.
Open to new experiences. Mm-hmm. You want to try things new. You're here for a certain amount of time of your life, right? Let's try things new. Yeah.
No motorcycle. This is other person.
But the point of that is that if you have somebody who's just like, they want to go and experience new things, mm-hmm. and you have someone else who's like, yes, we're here for a short amount of time. I want to make sure I'm safe. I don't want to experience new things. I'm cautious. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go on a motorcycle.
You have some kind of this word, A.
Agreeableness?
Yeah, so you be flexible and do the experience with your partner.
Well, that's going back to openness. Like, that's a mixing of, right? Okay. That's a mixing of personality. And we all have a mix. It's not like you can be extremely one way, extremely the other, but sometimes we're flexible. Mm-hmm. We're flexible in between. And it also depends on the situation. The interesting part of all these, and we'll get back to each one, is that there's always an argument of, are you born this way? As Lady Gaga says, are you born this way? And the psychologists who have studied this, going all the way back to, who is it? Hippocrates. Let's see if I pronounce his name correctly here. You ever heard of the Hippocratic Oath or something like that in medicine? Well, Hippocrates was a philosopher about 400 BC. And he studied personality, like what was learned, what was nurture, what was nature, all the way up to today. So for thousands of years, we've studied personality. How much was from your parents, from your DNA, from your genes, from then the environment you grew up in, and then from what you learned and developed over your lifetime? And what it turns out is the more they study about this, the more they keep getting back into it's a combination. Mm-hmm. 2017 Harvard study talked about that definitely genes play a role. But the genes, the DNA, the genes you have need to be exposed to environment, to a certain environment, to express themselves. And we were talking before this, is that if you have a body type that with a little bit of exercise grows muscle very well, you can grow muscle. Like I've been a little bit athletic for my life, and I know others who are, because I played a lot of sports. It tended that there were certain people who with workouts and with exercise would develop speed, they'd get stronger, they'd get muscles. And then I remember a friend of mine who said, he would ride his bicycle up and down the hills all the time, but he never could get any stronger. Like, he wouldn't get bigger. He was, never out of breath, but He just never got big like the other kids who worked out like he did. The other kids got bigger. So the genes that allowed the muscles to grow were in certain people, but those who exercised and had those genes were expressed, and therefore muscle growth ensued. You look at all the personality traits, and really personality traits, whether there's 5, 1, 8, or 7, basically comes down to organization of types, that psychologists always try to put things in buckets. Mm. So there's an agreement that let's stick with these 5 as the big 5 traits, everything else a subset of that, but it really covers a lot of personality. That these traits, the more or less that they're expressed, is based upon, one, are you born with DNA and genes that allow an expression or disallow? Like, do they allow the muscle growth or not? And then, are you in the environment? Are you in a family that nurtures that expression? Are your parents very conscientious? Do they teach you to be? Are your friends conscientious? Or you get to school and you start hanging out with people that you like for whatever reason, and they're like, ah, don't do your homework, don't worry about it, it's not important. What's more important in life is doing what you want, being free and having fun.
Be happy.
Be happy. Don't worry.
No worry. That is a song. So how this personality is relating to the kamikaze behavior?
So if you've got an overruling personality, meaning if your personality traits guide your everyday actions and interactions, and they've been developed by the time you're 20, 30 years old, they've been really strongly developed. And that's how you are or who you are. We'd have this discussion, right? Oh, I'm not going to change who I am. Mm-hmm. You may not change who you are, but the environment and the setting may change how you express yourself. Mm-hmm. So somebody who may not be as expressive with somebody because of the interplay of personalities and the way they get along with each other may be perfect at communicating with somebody else with a different set of personality, skills, background.
This has happened right to you? No, yes.
Maybe yes, it has. So yeah. A good example is that in my youth, I had a lot of difficulty communicating how I felt with people, especially my partner. I would always think that you never shared, always think you would never share how you felt. Like you'd keep it in because you didn't want to hurt them, or you didn't want, like, you couldn't have feelings. You know, you could be like, I love you, and you could be really physically attracted, you could have all this stuff, but as far as being I'm angry because of, or you know this is what I feel, you wouldn't want to share. Mm-hmm. And I personally got to a point in my life where it was like, you know what, this is not working for me. I am not having a deep relationship. And so I found Lizette. Actually, she found me.
But he believed, because I don't speak English, she said, oh, I am safe.
Now I can share everything with her. But she wouldn't understand what I said. And then she taped everything. Mm-hmm. And then later she
wrote it down. And said, wow, he told me that.
And then she was like, oh, my gosh, I can't escape. Oh, no, I can't find her. But the point to that is, let's go back to kamikaze. When you are in a relationship, and we start off with the two chefs who had the chef communication, or Aaron and Vincent have the playful words back and forth, as they get to know each other, more and more of their personality traits, which guide their behaviors, start interacting with their method of communications and how they get along in life. And they may find out that their personalities just completely clash. Their goals and objectives and values do not match. And the more they learn and the better they are at communicating, the less they actually understand of each other. And the less this wall starts to form, and the wall gets bigger and bigger if they don't have this match. And for somebody who has a hard time communicating and can't figure out how to say something, when this wall happens, it's like, how do I break through the wall? And then it's like, I'm just going to destroy the wall. I'm not going to try to break through the wall. I'm just destroying it. And how do you destroy it? Take the relationship down.
Yeah. So that is the
kamikaze. So in the kamikaze
chapter. So what happened maybe it's good to share what happened with Vincent.
So Vincent is having switches jobs because of the economy and other things that happen. He gets laid off and he has to take a job that doesn't pay as well. And he decides to use this lower paying job as the reason that we can't afford the house anymore, and just stops making payments. Because why make payments to sustain a house and a relationship that's just not working? And it's a really deep, I mean, this is glossing over the subject, but it's been years of miscommunication, misinterpretation, and not having,
and therapy,
and just it's not getting closer together. It's getting, the more they learn, the less they like each other. And as you feel that happening and you see the stress in that relationship, Vincent decides, I'm using this as an opportunity to crash the relationship. And by losing the house, by not making payments, not being able to make payments, it forces them to separate into separate apartments, and it moves them into the separation. You know, this isn't working. Look how bad it is. It's crashed. But it's trying to not say anything for all this time, and saying, by not saying anything, I'm not moving in any direction. So ultimately, let's do the
boom.
Just take it apart, take it down. There's a lot more in the book. This is one of 32 chapters. It's just one little lesson in love, or in miscommunication, or in communication, depending on what chapter you're reading. It's a fascinating book. We really enjoyed writing it. We actually enjoy reading it too. It's funny to see these individual little stories that happen between Vincent and Victoria as their lives weaved back and forth until they came together.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back right after this on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about kamikaze. We're talking about personality traits, the big five. I think I want to end our last segment, or start our last segment, which will go towards the end, with the big five personality traits, because these are very, very important for each of us individually to understand ourselves and also understand the personality of others. You can find lots and lots of research on it, but we're going to review the five. One, openness to new experience. Mm-hmm. We talked about that a little bit. Hey, I'd like to go to Greece.
Me too. Let's go.
Okay, so I want to go to a new place every time on vacation. And she wants to keep going to Italy, or I love New York City.
Barcelona.
I just want to go to New York City. Every time I get a chance, New York City. I'm like, let's go somewhere else. No, I want to go to New York City. Or somebody just says, you know what? On my vacation, I just want to stay home and do nothing.
Because I travel a lot, so I want to stay home.
I just want to go to the beach. I'm comfortable at the beach. So openness to new experience. Do you find that the person you're with wants to change all the things they're doing on a rapid basis with you? Are they open to that?
Open for negotiation.
Right. Or that's still open for new experiences. Mm-hmm. I want to have sushi. Well, Lizette likes to have sushi. But if she says, I'd like to go to a
burger
place. Well, what was the one we did like a couple of months ago? We went into Philadelphia.
Mediterranean
food.
I love it.
And I'm like, I don't know if I like it or not. I don't remember it. I don't remember eating it. I don't know what's there. And then I start building up this, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Now, am I open to the new experience or not? And it's one, you got to drive him to Philly. Drive into Philly. It's a city. I don't know how to get there. There's so much traffic. Where do you park? You can't find parking.
Wow. I'm walking from the park.
You got to walk from the parking lot to the restaurant.
Better go to Greece.
So, no, in actuality, there's something to be said about that, is that if I have now, I've had experience going to the airport, getting on a plane, flying to just pick a city, Dusseldorf, and going to a international show, an international trade show in Dusseldorf every other year for the last 20 years. The first time I really didn't know what I was doing. Now it's like, it's easier for me to do that than to go into Philly, into an area I don't know in Philly, into a parking situation I don't know.
But this is nothing new. This is something that you go, so it's not new.
But which isn't new?
The Dusseldorf.
Right. But that's the point, is that we can do things that seem like we are open to new experiences. Oh, you travel all the time. You must enjoy traveling. Oh, you enjoy taking an airplane. And it may be the opposite. No.
Okay.
So openness to new experience, or to experience, is very important. Is to understand, is that really open to trying new things, going to see new movies, new restaurants. Let's try bowling, sports, reading a new book, reading while Victoria dreams.
Or new car.
New car.
New wife. Oh,
no, hey. Mm-hmm. That's one. Number two, conscientiousness. So, as an industrial and organizational psychology student, research person, I did a lot of study on this. Conscientiousness is the number one thing in personality trait that is associated and reliable measure of potential job performance. Conscientiousness. And so this is why these five over time have become very big, as it is these five. Let's stick with these five, because time and time again, they have been shown to really reveal what a person is and how they're like. So conscientiousness is, are you efficient and organized? But more than that, do you take responsibility? If I don't complete this, I'm going to spend the time to complete this because I said I'm going to complete it. I have this conscientiousness. It's in my head. It brings up feelings of, I said I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I got to get it done. And because of that, is that type of predisposition to how you do your job, or maybe how you are in a relationship. Conscientiousness ties into truthfulness, ties into telling the truth. And if you feel like you hurt somebody, oh, I feel like I hurt them, I got to take care of that. It's being responsible. Versus extravagancy and careless. You know, the person is like, I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to do that. I don't care about you. They don't really care for their work. They, you know, the salesperson who just, I'm just going to throw a quote out and I'm going to not put the right stuff in the quote. I don't care. And then when you get the product and it doesn't work, well, that's now production's fault. Or in a relationship.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend all your money to take you out to eat.
Yeah. Oh, I want to buy a lot of electronic stuff.
Oh, yeah. Next is extroversion. Like we talked about, the olive oil. But extroversion is being outward going, energetic, compared to introverted, which is not being outgoing, keeping within yourself, not sharing your feelings potentially, being subdued. So we know people who are both extroverts and introverts. And situationally,
in some context, yes.
Situationally,
it's not always. It's not something like the people is like that. Always, it depends of the situation.
So personally, I feel like I'm an introvert that acts as an extrovert when I'm in certain situations. That's what I feel. Now others may see that differently, but sometimes I just want to be left by myself and just do my work, and I don't want input or teamwork with others.
I know that.
Right, but other times, Like, I want to, when I was doing some plays or musicals or on the radio or in a band, I want to be in front of people and I want to be performing, but I don't want to have that communication. Like, I don't want to have, like, one-on-one communication that digs deep into personality or feelings.
Really?
Really. That's
that's really controversial.
Yes, I'm agreeing with you because I'm an agreeable person, which is the next thing. Agreeableness. Is the person that you're wanting to be a partner with, or is it a friend or relative, are they agreeable? Do they always tell you no, I want to do it my way, I'm not going to do it your way? Or do they agree?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Friendly and compassionate. Okay, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, let's do what you're saying. Versus critical and rational. That will never work. You're doing it the wrong way.
Oh, I hear that.
My gosh. Don't believe anything she's saying, B. She's being... Oh, there's nothing on here.
Oh, the
funny,
category.
Funny.
Number six.
Funniness. And then after agreeableness, we go to neuroticism, which is, again, being overly sensitive, nervous, somebody who you're afraid to say something to because they may just start crying or they may get angry, that they're not stable in how they react to certain situations. And I don't mean not stable like crazy. I just mean not stable like that they're not resilient and confident that if you do, say, criticize them, they're like, oh, okay, versus... What? I'm doing this wrong? And they break down and they don't communicate. So that is a big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you're looking at me. Why are you looking at me? What did I do?
No, I say versus good communication, not pay the mortgage.
Well, that's actually interesting is that, and I wanted to go back to that at the end here, which was going that sometimes that firmly developed communication patterns, not consistent with core. Okay, so when you start developing communication patterns in early part of a relationship that are not consistent with your core and core values, your personality, as you get deeper and deeper into that relationship, you may find out that now you don't actually have the communication tools to be able to communicate at that deeper level that you need. Because you're no longer talking the language you talked when you met, and now you have to talk from your personality that's your true personality, and you can't figure out how to do it. And my comment to you was, freshman year of college, I spoke to one girl that I had met in college with an English accent, or at least I thought it was, and had told her this story about being raised in England. And I did this for a couple of weeks, and I completely forgot about it. And one of my friends told me that one of her friends said, oh, yeah, she likes this guy from England. And he had told the girl, what do you mean from England? He's from Jersey. And with that, when
the Jersey accent.
So it completely destroyed any hope of a relationship when she found out that I was joking about being from the UK. And there was no way to come back. But I... To having a relationship because, quote, I lied, I wasn't who I was. I look at that and I go, that is a similarity to having a relationship of two chefs.
I have to tell you, this is a fake accent they have. I am really from Russia, but...
Oh, that's fine. Because okay. I'm confident. I have
yeah,
no...
you agree.
Oh, what was that?
There's no problem. Drinking that.
So, if we start off at whatever they call that, superficial communication that's based upon some similarities that we have but is not part of who we really are at the core, we may end up in a relationship where we get to a point where we're like, I can't talk like how I want to talk because the only way this person knows me is here and I know this is how they want to communicate and now the wall has grown. Where you need the deepest amount of communication, you've forced yourself separate because you just don't have that language communication. You may not want to hurt the person and now I can't share how I really feel because now I'm afraid that they're going to find out who I really am and they don't want to be with me anymore. I don't want to hurt them, so I'm going to
be kamikaze. And also that is one interesting happened with when I divorced. So at the moment, my ex-husband, it's difficult communication. So the communication become bad, and then I feel like everything they say hurt.
Mm.
And he's so victim of this situation. Based upon if you read the book, you know what happened.
Okay.
And then at one moment, I think it's difficult to have communication one-on-one because never go through anything. So the other day I talked with Alfredo, I said, well, you know, wrote something because maybe it's other way to, if you need to do some kind of transaction with this person. But at the moment, it's again, kamikaze, you don't want to talk more, so you separate. Yeah.
No, and you're correct, is that sometimes you just can't communicate without hurting.
But the interesting part also is the I explain if sometimes we have so many emotion, the blocking, the target, what do you really want to do? So mm-hmm. What is the objective to have this transaction? You want to have the person sign this document. Forget about emotion. So talking and say, we need to sign this, and that's it. But your emotion pushing say, you see, also for the single paper you never sign, and you include this, you lose the power to do. I mean, it's not manipulation. It's just be focused and what you want to achieve versus the, you don't want to teach person. You don't want to fixing the person. You just want to have finished one transaction and not put emotion in this.
So, and I know that's a specific situation, but is there hope for partners if they found that they're getting further and further apart in communication? Is there hope through something like therapy, working with somebody, working with a coach? Is there hope?
Yeah. So, somebody, because we don't know everything, so you need to maybe find some assistant to create the channel to figure out or we keep going together or we separate.
So what I'm going to say is that we know that personality traits, the ones we spoke about, are highly developed by the time we're 20 or 30. Can they be changed? Well, if they changed all the way up till the time we're 20 or 30, yes, they can be changed. Our communication styles can change slightly. We have to want to have that change. That, again, we always talk about common goal. If you have a common goal going into therapy or going into coaching of staying together in a loving relationship, then you can move towards that and get better communication. If the goal of therapy is to figure out how to separate without hurting each other, that's another goal. But you need to go in with the same goal. If one goes into the therapy with, I want to save the relationship, and the other's like, I just want to get out of it. Well, the therapist is there to help you do what you want to do. They're not going to convince you to stay. They're not going to convince you to separate. They will help guide you in what you want. And to have a clear goal, do we really both agree to this? Sometimes it's hard to have that open communication. But if you can both have the same goal in mind from the beginning of a relationship or the beginning of therapy, you can then move towards that goal.
Yeah. And also typical looking for the goal is a benefit. I know it's difficult, but it's a benefit for everyone. Try to be the more healthy way to everybody be safe and healthy.
So safe and healthy versus kamikaze. It's up to you to decide. Yeah. Vincent, I pointed at myself. Vincent in the book.
And Victoria.
And Victoria. Vincent took the kamikaze route on that chapter 10 in While Victoria Dreams. In different chapters, he took different decisions, just like Victoria took different decisions in different chapters based upon the situation, the environment, the people that they were with, because it's a 50-50 sharing of the relationship, of the situation. So our personalities will react differently based upon the situation, the person. and will change over time depending on if that's what we want and that's what we work on. And hopefully we all learned something from this show today with Lizette
and Jim
on 90 Day Soulmate. Thank you for watching.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.